I can recall what he shared with me, and I'll share that with you. And brother, if you don't mind, Nelson, coming up and sharing a little bit more of details of those areas that I left out. Well, brother Nelson Miles is the president of the Frontier School of the Bible in Wyoming. Now, some of you probably don't even know where Wyoming is. And if you saw a silhouette of Wyoming, I highly doubt you could tell it from North Dakota or South Dakota, right? It's kind of a big square. And Wyoming, I was told, it has about 600,000 citizens there. 600,000. That's called a small hamlet in China. Been to Shanghai, there's 25 million people in that one city. But what a wonderful place to train up young people. And Brother Nelson was telling me that there are over 200 students there at the Frontier School of the Bible. And the town where the school is situated has 300 citizens there. And he was telling me that the mayor of that town, mayor of that city, is an alum from Frontier School of the Bible. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, that's what a testimony of that is. Well, Brother Nelson's been serving there for 20 years. He's been in Wyoming for 20 years. Is that right? Okay, if I get it wrong, please correct me. Yeah, but prior to that, he was here up in Northern California in Santa Rosa and serving at Santa Rosa Bible Church. And then prior to that, he's originally from Michigan. So some of you from the Midwest there, you know Brother Nelson well. Most of us probably never left California, right? This is it for us, many of us. But we're delighted that Brother Nelson will not only come and minister to us, but he will actually bring in a perspective and a life experience that most of us here have not had, which is, he was sharing with me about hunting and how his wife and his daughters hunt, and how when they kill one elk, you can have meat for the whole year, whole season. And imagine never going to Costco to pick up steaks because you have icebox full of meat. That's something my wife will really enjoy, I think. And so I'm really, Wyoming seems very enticing to us, and so we need to go pay a visit there. But what's really striking about Nelson, not only he's a man of God, man of the word, and he ministers there, he's a family man, his eldest daughter is a pastor's wife. His son is also in going to the ministry and student there. And he's been training young people, and he's been doing that with all the faculty there as a missionary. If he were to go and, let's say, teach in an underground church in Shanghai, let's say, or Beijing, and he would be serving there as a missionary, and we would all know what he would be doing. He would be raising funds and serving there so he can equip the next generation for the gospel dissemination, equipping the saints for the Great Commission. Well, that's what he's doing in Wyoming. He's actually working there without pay from this institution, but raising his own, as with all the instructors there. And that's not only commendable, but that's something that all of us as men who are thinking about tent making or thinking about missions and thinking about serving the Lord in other contexts besides our familiarity and comfort zone, that's something that we can really commit to the Lord. And we're so thankful that he's here to minister the word to us. So let's give a warm East Bay Evangel Northern California IFCA welcome to our guest speaker, Brother Nelson Miles. Nelson, come and minister to us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I don't know if I'm supposed to stand on this little thing or not, but I'm so small, this might be easier for you to see me. It is good to be here with you. I've been looking forward to this. I spent 16 years in Santa Rosa and was well acquainted with many of the IFCA churches in Northern California. Helped up at Heartstone Bible Camp up by Potter Valley, California for a number of years. Lots of great memories. And I was hoping to see a few of the guys that I have known for many years at this. Know a few. And it's good to have John here, John Winkleman. He's a graduate of Frontier. And so I was looking forward to seeing him. And John could tell you all about life in Wyoming. and life in LaGrange. It's very different from here. I remember flying into Atlanta and driving by this big apartment complex, and I said to our driver, there are more people that live in this apartment complex than in all of LaGrange. And he had a hard time believing that, but it is true. The school makes up quite a bit of the town. And I'm just glad to be here with you. I'll tell you what, it blesses my heart to see so many men here, so many young men here, and that have a desire for the Lord, have a desire for God's Word, and so just really looking forward to this weekend. We'll see how this works with the PowerPoint. This is fairly new to me. I'm stepping out of the dark ages and just learning to use PowerPoint. And so I'm sure that I'm going to mess up at different times. Just ignore the mess ups and listen, and we'll make it through this. And part of the problem was I had surgery on Monday, and I was putting all of this together. And so a lot of this PowerPoint is inspired by the drugs that they gave me in the hospital. So we'll see how it comes out. I'm not totally sure. But it is good to be here. And as you can see, our theme for this weekend is soaring. And we're going to look at a number of ways to soar in the Christian life. But as you can see, tonight we're going to be looking at soaring above life's circumstances. And so, I don't know is it ready to go? Okay. It's going to be blinding. Okay, we'll see how this goes. All right. You wouldn't happen to have just a... I could use maybe one of those. Might be helpful.
I'll get a lectern.
Okay, that would be great. While he is doing that, I wanted to ask the question to you. How many of you have tried to fly? Put your hand up. Put it up high. Admit it. Okay? I would just like a few of you to tell us how you tried to fly. No matter how embarrassing it was, what did you do? Somebody. Yes.
I was a Superman fan when I was about 5. I took a towel out of my mom's linen closet, safety pin around my throat, climbed out a window, and thought I could fly, and jumped and landed in some shrubbery. Got all scratched up, but didn't go very far.
All right. Somebody else. Come on, there are several hands. How did you try to fly? Anybody else going to share with us? Oh, come on. Yes.
It's not necessarily about me, but we built a plane, put a little brother in it, and threw it up.
All right. Somebody else, what did you do? He used to send you flying, all right? Anybody else? You know, it's interesting how it seems to be guys that come up with these plans. And do you know why we do things like that? It's because the frontal lobe of the brain is what determines judgment. And the frontal lobe of the brain is not fully developed until age 25. Do you know that? What age in life does your driving insurance go down?
25.
And every once in a while, when a student at school does something really dumb, I say, listen, it's okay. I understand that your frontal lobe isn't fully developed. Someday you'll understand why this was dumb. And so we do a lot of things that we shouldn't. I've had dreams about flying and soaring, and maybe some of you have had some of those kinds of dreams. And those are some of my favorite ones of all time. And I think everybody has had that desire at some point to want to fly high above the earth. Well, I think we're about ready. All right, there we go. I think it is also true that people like to fly in life. So I was thinking about this topic. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. I really believe that people do not want to just crawl through life. They don't want to just tolerate life. And there's a lot of people doing that today. I believe that when it comes to life, people want to soar high. Now, what would Satan's desire be for our lives? I think he wants us to crawl. I think he wants us to just tolerate, because when we endure, when we're just enduring life, we lose our joy, we lose our purpose, we can lose our ministry. We have a little sign on a refrigerator at home that says this: I don't want to endure, I want to soar. And I really believe that is what every Christian ought to desire. The question is, how do we do that? How do we do that? How is it that we see some Christians that no matter what circumstances they're going through life, they're going through in life, they just seem to soar above it? In this session, I wanted to look at Isaiah 40, 31, where we're going to look at three ways every man can soar above life's circumstances. The key, I believe, is thinking. I want to read Isaiah 40, verse 31. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would speak to our lives in a powerful way from this verse tonight. I ask, Lord God, that we would be Christian men who soar through life. Not crawl, not tolerate life, but Father, that we would soar in the Christian life. And so I'm asking that you, through your Spirit, would speak to our lives tonight, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, if we want to soar above life circumstances, we need to think on the right things. Think on the right things. I told you that we were going to be looking at things to think about from this passage. And I believe there's right things to think about and there's wrong things. But one of the things that we shouldn't think on are the things that lead to weakness and defeat in our lives. As you look at the start of this verse, it starts with "but," which takes us back to the verses just prior to this. And so we need to kind of see what has been talked about here. And it says, he gives, in verse 29, it says, he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. So there's a contrast that we're about to see. He's looking back at these verses. He looks at those who are weak. He looks at those that are weary. They don't have any might. He's looking at those who are falling. And we all go through those times. There are some of you that perhaps right now would say, you know, I can identify with those two verses right there. Because right now, with some of the things that I am going through in my life, I feel weak. I feel like I don't have any strength. I feel like I am falling. One of the things that I think the Word of God tells us and that we find by life's experience is that we are weak when we focus just on our circumstances and the things of this life. Focusing on the difficult circumstances will lead to what we see in verses 29 and 30. It will cause us to live in fear, perhaps to complain, to crawl, and maybe fall. Focusing on what kind of things? Well, our trials. Our trials. Our problems. Our challenges. The things that could happen. They haven't happened, but we think maybe they are going to happen. And so we focus on that and get discouraged. Disappointments and loss. When we focus our thinking on those things, that is when we are ripe for weakness, for falling, and so on. You know, this hit home to me. Last night, I was in our home. And I was preaching through this message. And just prior to that, I was focusing on a problem that I was going through. And usually, the problems of ministry and so on don't really tend to get me down and so on. But I was going through something that happened at the school there. That was very discouraging to me. It was something that happened with a student. And it was one of those kinds of circumstances where you just kind of had a pit in your stomach. And you just felt awful about it. And I found myself focusing on it. I found myself beginning to worry about it and the ramifications of it and what could happen and so on. And I'm going through this part of this verse right here. And I was thinking, you know, Nelson, you are giving yourself a pretty good illustration of what not to do. And right there, I had to confess to the Lord my focusing on the wrong thing. And sometimes that's what we do. We focus on the wrong things, and it leads to weakness and defeat. We can also do this by depending or focusing on ourselves. That will lead to weakness and defeat. When we begin to focus on us, on living self-centered lives, we're headed for defeat, not for soaring. Because self-centeredness never leads to soaring in life. Self-reliance never leads to soaring in life. And so we shouldn't focus or think on the things that lead to weakness and defeat, but we do need to think on the things that lead to strength and victory. The things that lead to strength and victory. How do we do that? If you look in the verse, again, it says, "But those who wait on the Lord." And so that's one of the things that we want to do. If we want to soar in life, we need to think on the things that lead to strength and victory, and we need to wait on the Lord. Now, for some of you that are married, this is not the kind of waiting where perhaps your wife is in the changing room trying on 15 dresses, and you're patiently waiting. Isn't it interesting, outside those waiting rooms, there's always some chairs or a bench for the husband to patiently wait. For some of you guys that are single, this is a joy that you will find later on in life, okay? So that's not the kind of waiting that this is talking about here. This is the kind of waiting where you're looking patiently. It's a trust. It's a confidence in God. That's the kind of waiting that we're talking about. It's a kind of waiting where you are keeping your eyes on the Lord. This is so important as we go through life's challenges. We need to wait on the Lord. Psalm chapter 28 and verse 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped." Notice where the thinking is. Notice where the trusting is. "Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him." Now, practically speaking, how do we wait on the Lord? I think there's a number of ways that we do this. One of which is looking to God's promises in his word. Rejoicing in them, focusing on them. We have in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." Listen, if we want to soar in life, we need to stay glued to the Word of God. We need to focus on the truth. And so many times within our family, somebody will be going through something and will say, "You know what? Here's what's important. We need to focus on the truth." And of course, where do we find the truth? We find the truth in God's Word. There's another passage that says, if I can remember the verse right, it says, "I would have perished in my affliction if your word had not been my delight." When we're going through challenging circumstances of life, we need to focus on the truths of the Word of God. Very, very important. Then I think we need to look to him in prayer. That would be another way to wait on the Lord and depend on him. John 16:24 says, "Ask and you will receive," listen to this, "that your joy might be full." It's another way to focus. It's through prayer. Taking things to God in prayer. Then I believe that we can focus on the Lord by looking at his blessings. Psalm 92 and verse 4. Hopefully, I'm right on target. This is good so far, you guys. Good for me. It says, "For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands." Thinking at your blessings that God has given is a wonderful way to get our focus back. Wonderful way to do that. And then I also think that we focus and wait on the Lord by looking at right priorities in life, which of course is Jesus Christ and living for his honor and glory. In Acts chapter 20, verses 23 through 24, it says, "The Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." Paul had his share of life's challenges. He said, "But none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy." Paul had right priorities in life, and he was living for God's honor and glory. The Apostle Paul is a great example to us of this. He also says, "For to me to live is what? Christ. And to die is gain." You know what I think about as I see this about the Apostle Paul. We can do this waiting on the Lord at any time in world history. Back when Paul was going through his trials and tribulations, he could rise above all those things. He could soar just as we can in 2012. And when I think of all that Paul went through, it also tells me that we can do this in any circumstance in life. We can soar through the Christian life rather than crawl. I think another way that we can do this is by thinking on who the Lord is. I think this is very important. When we begin to, again, look into the Word, when we talk to the Lord in prayer, but when we really begin to think about who the Lord is, it helps us to soar as we're facing life's challenges. Thinking on things like the fact that He is the self-existent one who we can depend on. He is our Creator. He is a sovereign God who is working out His will and plan. There's no such thing as bad luck with the Christian. The things that come into our lives. He's the all-powerful God. There is nothing too hard for God. There is no challenge in life that is too hard for God. We have a God who is everywhere, who is going through our difficulties with us. What a blessing that is, I think, and helps us to soar. He's a God who knows everything. He's a God of love. He's a God who works all things together for good to those that love God, are called according to His purpose. And as we begin to focus on who God is, it leads to praising. It really does. And thanksgiving. I think about one of the graduates of Frontier. His name is Jeremy Fellows. He's a church planter in northern Utah. A few years ago, when the swine flu was going around, his wife got the swine flu, and because of complications, she passed away. They have two small girls. His wife's father lived with them. He has Alzheimer's. So, and Jeremy is a tent maker. He pastors, but the church is small, and so he drives truck as well to bring in finances. So he had all of this going on, and he lost his wife. At the hospital, when she passed away, he got all the friends, family, people from the church together, and he said, "I want to sing." He said, "Let's sing together Victory in Jesus." After that happened, I went with some of our students on a missions trip, and one of the places we went was to his church, and Jeremy is just a guy full of joy, loves the Lord. And he said, "You know, it was a very, very, and it still is, a very, very difficult thing." He said, "I really miss her." And he said, "After her death, there's questions that started to come to my mind." And he said, "There are questions like this. How can I raise these two girls without a mother?" And he said, "This is the answer that came. I don't know how, but I know who." Then he said, I thought about taking care of her dad who has Alzheimer's. How am I going to do that?" He said, "The answer came, I don't know how, but I know who." How am I going to take care of all the things at the church? Kathy was such a wonderful help in ministry. I don't know how, but I know who. I want to tell you, Jeremy is not crawling. He is soaring. And I believe he's got his eyes in the right place. He's waiting on the Lord. He's thinking on who the Lord is. And if we want to soar through the circumstances of life, first of all, we need to think on the right things. We need to think on the right things. But then we also need to think about an exchange. Think about an exchange. It says in the passage there, "But those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." Renew their strength. This is kind of an interesting word. It carries with it the idea of exchanging clothes, which is kind of interesting as we're talking about soaring above life's circumstances. You might say, well, how so? Kind of carries the idea of exchanging a garment for a better one. For a better one. Now, I don't know how many of you are like me. I don't like buying clothes. And usually, when I get something new, it's because my wife says, you need to get something different. I like hanging on to things. I want every last bit of use out of something. My family laughs at me because a lot of times I'll take my shoes off. My socks, there's almost nothing left of them. But to me, they're still good. And she'll say, it's time to exchange those for a better one. And as I look at that word renew, it does indicate there are times in the Christian life where we can become weak, we can become shaken, or be defeated. As I thought about this and an exchange, this coat right here is one that should have been exchanged a long time ago. I use this out in the yard. I don't know why I hang on to it. But as you can see, I've had some good use from this coat. It's one that needed to be renewed for a better one. A better one. It also has the idea of exchanging strength. Exchanging again for a better one. Our weakness for God's strength. In Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3, it says this: "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling." Selah. Exchanging our weakness for God's strength. I believe it has to do with depending on Him alone. Depending on Him alone. We have another graduate who is in Tanzania. He works in an orphanage. A while back, in the night, there were some robbers that came into the compound with guns. They broke into their house, started firing their weapons. They were just at Frontier, and I was looking at the pictures of the bullet holes in the walls. They beat on him. He showed pictures of how they broke fingers, how they hit him over the head. They They tried to get in where his wife and daughters were, and they locked themselves into the bathroom. And very, very difficult time. And so I really started praying for them, because I knew that's the kind of thing that could cause a missionary to come home from the mission field. I think about the trauma. His wife is in the bathroom listening to the gunshots, wondering if her husband is dead or not. And I got an email from Josh. I'd been praying for him. And this is what he said. "This incident has confirmed our call to the mission field." He said, "We really believe that Satan was seeking to discourage us, to make us fearful, but it has strengthened our resolve to be here." They weren't crawling. They were soaring. It's possible. The difficulties of life can cause us to say, "God, I can't handle this. I can't do this." We maybe are wearing different coats, and they're difficult coats to wear. There might be some that tonight have a coat of illness. Some perhaps have a coat of some kind of a family problem. Some might be wearing a coat of problems at work that are very, very difficult, and you're not sure what to do, and it's discouraged you, perhaps worried you. Financial situation. Maybe you've gone through some kind of a loss, and that's the coat that you're wearing tonight. Perhaps it's a sin issue, and you're tired of it. You feel defeated. That's the coat that you're wearing tonight. I want to encourage you to take it off. It says here to exchange it. My wife, because I hang on to things that I shouldn't, she got me another coat. She got me a Frontier School of Bible coat. That's a good coat. This one looks a whole lot better than the other one. And I like this one. I like this one a lot. Spiritually speaking, that's what it's saying here. Exchange it. Put on God's coat of strength. Psalm chapter 55 and verse 22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord." Take that coat, take it off, and exchange it. "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you, and he shall never permit the righteous to be moved." There was another time that I was going through a difficult, very, very difficult circumstance. And there were times walking to the Bible school that I just felt overwhelmed. I was weary of the difficulty that I was dealing with. And I thought about this verse, and I said, "Okay, God, I'm casting this on you. I don't want to crawl. I want to soar." And this is the invitation that all of us have, is to cast our burdens on the Lord, to put on God's coat of strength. It says he will sustain you. Every man can soar above life circumstances if he will think on the right things, think about an exchange, and then think about the result. Think about the result. As you look in this passage, it says, "They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And I want to personalize this a little bit. So I look at this. Sometimes we feel like we cannot rise above our circumstances. Notice what it says there. says they shall mount up. And I put it in your notes here. Another way of saying that is you can mount up like with wings like an eagle. We can start to believe there's no way I can rise above this. This says there is. We can if we do what God tells us to do, if we think about the right things. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4, it says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." When I think about what the children of Israel were facing, there were things that looked insurmountable. But God, it says, bore them on eagle's wings, and he's willing, and he will do that for you and me. You can rise above the difficulties and problems. You can be uplifted emotionally and spiritually. But second thing it says is that you can run tirelessly, not wanting to give up. At different times in my life, I've done jogging programs. And there's usually times where I want to give up, and I think, I just can't do this. I can't do this. But there's times where perhaps in the Christian life we feel like giving up. I've seen people in ministry that have given up because of the challenges in life. But as we see here, we can rise above the difficult things. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." We can run with endurance rather than giving up, getting weary and giving up. And last of all, it says, "They shall walk and not faint." You can walk with strength rather than falling, like we see in verse 30. We can walk and not faint. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 says, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The Apostle Paul soared through life. Every man can soar above the circumstances of life if he will think on the right things, think about an exchange, and think about the result. My dad is a wonderful example to me of someone who soared through life. I knew about a lot of the ministry problems that he dealt with because as a family and personal devotions, we would pray about different difficulties. But I always saw my dad soar. And I know there were times where he was weak. I know that there are times that he fell, but I didn't really see much of that. What I remember from my childhood and so on is just seeing my dad soar. In the last years of his life, he moved to LaGrange, Wyoming. He taught at Frontier. And he was getting up in age, and when he came to Frontier, he told me, he said, "Nelson, if you sense that my teaching is slipping, I want you to let me know." And so there came the time where I believed that was happening. One of the hardest things that I've ever done in my life was to tell my dad, "I think it's time you retire from teaching." He was 91 when that happened. He cried He said, I don't think it's time. I said, well, Dad, you told me when you came you wanted to know, and so I'm just telling you. I said, Dad, here's what I think you should do. Why don't you consider becoming the school's chaplain? I said, we'll redo your office. We'll get a couch in there. We'll put a bunch of candy in there. I said, you'll have students in there all the time. Just share with them. Talk to them. He went home, and I saw him stumble. I saw him fall. The next day, he came in my office. He said, Nelson, I want to be the school chaplain. Let's get that couch in here, and let's get started. So I got a sign, chaplain, put it on his door. What happened? Well, he did fall, but he got his eyes where they should be. By the next day, he was soaring. Then it came to his driver's license. I noticed that he was starting to clip things with his car and so on, and I watched him pull out in front of a semi, and so I submarined him. I don't know if my dad knows that now up in heaven, but he never knows how he lost his driver's license. I told the doctor what I was seeing, and they ended up taking away his driver's license. That was really hard for my dad. And he stumbled. He fell. But in a short amount of time, he was soaring. When he quit teaching at the school, guess what he did? He found a little country church to pastor. Time came where we felt he needs to resign from that. My sister said, Nelson, I'll tackle this one. And that was hard. He stumbled. He fell. But then he soared. Then the time came when he couldn't walk anymore. He moved to Preston, Idaho to be living with my sister. Now he couldn't get out of bed. He ministered for the Lord to the day he died. Every healthcare worker that came into that house heard the gospel. Every single one. And if he was asleep when they came, he would always quiz my sister and my mom to see if they had witnessed to them. And if they hadn't, he chewed them out. He told us he wanted to die in the pulpit. And I thought he didn't make it. But then I found out he did. Every night in his sleep, he preached sermons out loud. Sometimes the mobile home park, if the window was open, could hear him preach. Some of them were hilarious messages. Some of them were so good, my brother-in-law said, I wanted to get up and get a piece of paper and write down the outline. He did that before he passed away. At 93 years of age, he was soaring. He was running. He was walking right up to his death. He thought on the right things. And so can we. Father, we thank you for this verse. Lord, as we look at life, there are people just trying to cope. They're trying to cope with drugs. They're trying to cope with alcohol. They're trying to cope with chasing a variety of different things that they think is going to make them happy. And Lord God, we just see a world in a mess. We see a world that's filled with suicide and people that are just trying to crawl through life, and some of them give up. But I thank you that as believers, we don't have to crawl. I thank you, Lord God, that you can help us to soar. And that's something, Father, that you can help us to do throughout a lifetime. Lord God, I pray that you would help each one of us here, each one of us men, to soar. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you, trusting in you, Lord God. And may others see that in us, so that we can share with them, Lord God, how they can have the same. I just thank you for the opportunity we've had to look into your word, and tomorrow, looking at another kind of soaring. Just pray that we would have a tremendous weekend together, Lord God, as we look into the treasures of your word. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.